Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. What's going on?
Yeah, it's Saturday, Sunday, what? Go. You get some new focals?
I want you guys to be honest with me. So I got new glasses.
Yeah.
Susan says they're too big for my face.
Well,
and they feel comfortable to me.
I think they fit perfect.
Right?
Yeah.
Best
well, how do you feel about them?
It's all that matters.
I mean, I like them. I know they're a little different, but...
Well, I think that's the style now. Big rims, big frames.
It's very difficult for me to find glasses that aren't too small for my face.
Right.
And I felt like as soon as I tried these on, like, oh, these aren't too small for my face. These kind of, you know.
You're perfect, man.
Right.
Yeah, I think Nate nailed it. Like, how do they feel?
Yeah.
Well, they feel good. They feel like I don't feel like...
As long as they feel good.
If the glasses are too tight, they're going to be a headache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they'll feel like, or pressure... Pressure on on the bridge of the nose,
yep.
Or in the temples.
The temple.
Right above the ear, so I feel pretty good.
Well, I think that our television viewers can take a look and tell people what they think.
Yeah, nice
tell
you what they think. On you.
Hit us up on Twitter or on TikTok.
How they look.
Yeah.
Good, on TikTok.
You're all over TikTok.
Who's
these
on
days,
TikTok?
Aren't you?
I can't get on TikTok.
You can't they won't let you, or you can't, you don't know how?
I signed up a long time ago, and now I can't get my password. Yeah, that looks good.
Yeah, my daughter's begged me, and I won't. I started an account. I just haven't ever done anything with it, but it's time to.
Is it?
I'm too dumb to figure these things out. I'm still figuring out all the ins and outs of Facebook, so. Instagram's got a lot of new stuff, too. They got,
Reels.
Yeah, Reels.
Yeah, there's all kinds of new stuff going on. There's new stuff on Twitter, Spaces, whatever that.
I did some good Snapchats yesterday that Jake said he saw.
Yeah. Made me very envious.
Why?
Because I wish I was at Main Event.
Oh, do you wish that you were there for
hockey.
My daughters playing against each other in every game?
Well, they're racing. They're doing all the racing games. Those are the best.
Motorcycle races,
car races,
air hockey,
yeah.
Go-kart, that's your thing.
Yeah, you like the go-karts. Stan Weber's going to be here at around 6:30 to talk about Texas and Oklahoma. I really don't know what to say about all this. I mean, it's a different perspective if you're a Missouri fan. Tried to tell you. Texas is a bunch of buttholes, but.
Well, you might have them back with you.
Oh, well. But
They won't be able to run the show.
Right.
SEC
will not bend the knee as the Big 12 has. Right?
I think that's right. That's probably right.
The other teams will not be forced to nurse at the teat of the Texas Longhorn.
You don't think they'll just yank up the SEC headquarters and move them to Dallas?
No. That's the surprising thing. Texas won't be the big fish in the pond.
Well, maybe they realize that that hasn't really gotten them anywhere. They're not really that good at anything right now. So, maybe just being a fish in a better pond is better for them.
If they're looking for better football success, I don't think I don't think that's the place for them to look, to be honest with you.
I think it's going to be hard for them. But
sorry, my glasses.
It hasn't exactly been easy for them in the Big 12 now, has it?
No, nah, that's what I mean. Like, you know. Like, what do you think? Are you real upset? Are you mad?
Okay, I got something for you on this. I was thinking about this, and I think this might...
Hold on, let me... Here we go again.
This might, I don't know, this might make KU fans mad.
Let's hear it.
K-State fans mad.
Yeah, let's really hear it then.
So, you know, I believe that most of the
K-State fans are mad because they get that automatic win off their football schedule and Texas leaves.
That's right. That's right.
Shots fired at Texas, courtesy of K-State State by me.
There you go.
It's true, though. It's been a W for Chris Klieman.
That's right. It's been a W for Ron Prince.
What?
He won at Texas. So I was thinking about this a lot because obviously I've seen a lot of KU and K-State fans are pretty freaked out again, from what I could tell.
Are you freaked out?
No. Because I thought about this, and here for me, like I'm just thinking as a KU fan. I'm not thinking as an administrator. And as a fan, I can really give a rip what their revenue is at KU. Like I don't care if they make $100 million or $70 million.
Kind of like Roy Williams didn't say I could give a rip about North Carolina right now.
Right, right.
So you're like Roy Williams.
Yeah, I'm like Roy Williams. I don't really. I mean, would I like for them to make more money? Sure. But what I really want is to see them win games. And
that's all you care about is W's.
I mean, that's why you're a sports fan, right? Like as we were talking with Mike DeCourcy yesterday. Would you rather be a Chiefs fan right now who just won a Super Bowl and has been to two, or a Cowboys fan because they've made more money over the past 10 years? We can ask Stan Weber that.
That seems like a ridiculous question.
Right? Right. So, as a KU fan, do I care more about whether or not KU wins in football and basketball or whether or not they make more money? I care about whether they win or not. Have they won anything in college football over the last 10 years since the first conference realignment? The answer is no. They've barely won at all, right? They've barely won anything.
Oh, that was a rhetorical question.
Yeah, it was a rhetorical question.
I was considering asking.
I'll answer that one for you, Stephen. The answer is no. They haven't really won anything.
The answer was no, Jake, because Jake was looking. And, he was looking some stuff up there.
Yeah, I was trying to find Roy.
And so, I think most KU fans would feel this way, and I definitely feel this way, is that please don't damage the basketball program, right? Like that's the one thing we're good at. It's one thing we've always been good
at. Don't kill the golden goose.
Right. So please, I just don't want some. I think the fear we all had last time around was, gosh, if we end up in the Mountain West or something, what happens? What happens? Does Bill Self want to leave? Does the basketball program suffer? And I'm looking around at the landscape now, and I see a college basketball landscape where Gonzaga's the biggest powerhouse.
You could be Gonzaga somewhere.
Villanova. They've won national titles since this conference realignment. You know, it doesn't matter if
Butler.
You don't have to be.
Well,
right. But you don't have to be in a Power 5 conference to be a powerhouse in basketball. And maybe if worst case scenario, Kansas ends up in some conference like the old Mountain West was with teams like Colorado State and Wyoming or whatever. Why would I think Kansas isn't going to still be dominant in basketball? And maybe they actually could win a few games in football. Is that far-fetched? Too much?
You had me until, you know.
I mean, hey, we got a coach that won in the MAC.
There you go.
You know? We got a coach that won in the MAC.
You got hope.
Why couldn't he win in the Mountain West?
Yeah, like if your coach was, you know, still Les Miles.
We wouldn't win
then
anything.
Then the answer would be no.
No, we'd apparently have players trying to murder one another. So, you know.
You have a reason for optimism.
Sheesh.
With your new hit football coach.
Well, I mean, with the playoff expanding to 12, like.
I don't see KU, like, I just...
They would have a better chance of advancing through the Mountain West than they do right now in the Big 12.
I mean, all of a sudden, you just took Oklahoma off the schedule, you took Texas off the schedule, you took Oklahoma State. I don't know, like, who all would be in this conference. But so, like, to me, okay, is this the worst case scenario? Now, everybody's going to say, well, you lose that $50 million check from the Big 12, and that's going to damage all the Olympic sports.
You don't care.
And that's tough. I mean, I'm sorry. I hate that. I'd like to see the Olympic sports have all the money in the world. You know, but for me, as, like, a fan... I don't think Kansas basketball is going to... Why can't they continue to be dominant in basketball, whatever conference they're in, when you look at Gonzaga and Villanova and Butler and all these other schools? Why can't they?
They can.
And then maybe they could actually win some football games. So, actually, I don't think I'm that upset about it. I mean, like, if this ends up, if that's quote-unquote worst-case scenario.
And you're saying if Kansas and Kansas State both went, and then you'd have that natural rivalry
and
still. Then
yeah, and maybe that's better for K-State,
you
want to
go together.
Maybe that's better for K-State, too.
What do you think Stan will say? Stan will be
I
here.
I don't know.
Well,
but, you know,
guess.
If I'm K-State, I look at it and go, you know what? If we go to a conference like that, we could be the dominant team in the league. We could be like, remember how TCU used to be in the Mountain West when they were just like, they kicked everyone's ass and they were a top, you know, or like Boise State or something? Would that be the worst thing if you're K-State and you're that team?
Well, I mean,
you dominate your league.
What's the alternative if the Big 12 loses Texas and Oklahoma and they try to fill them with Cincinnati and Louisville?
Which, yeah, I mean, why would Louisville want to leave the ACC now?
Well, I don't know. So they'd be the best school in the Big 12?
I mean, Cincinnati maybe. I don't even remember where Cincinnati is.
The AAC or something?
So
American. Have some fun. Add UNLV in New Orleans or something.
I'd be
like
all
that.
For it, UNLV.
Or, you know,
well, I don't think BYU would be fun. I mean,
that's a party school. I mean,
that's
a party
there.
School,
is it?
I mean,
I was looking for fun road trips. And
I
was.
Well, I mean, Provo's might be a pretty place.
Well, I'd put Vegas and
fun,
New Orleans ahead of those on the list pretty high.
I'm probably
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm probably with glasses over
like,
there.
Where would you, like, if you had the choice of those three, which road trip would you like
sense.
Most? Would you?
I probably would choose New Orleans or Vegas over.
It's a toss-up, though.
Yeah. No, not really.
Provo's been a top 10 party town.
Right.
In Utah.
Milk and cream.
Best place to get caffeine.
No, it's not.
So, I don't know. Do I sound crazy? I mean, maybe I'm just trying to rationalize it, but that's what I thought about last night. I'm like, what? Why would I be that upset if that's the outcome? I mean, if you gave me the choice of what KU's had over the past 10 years since this thing happened, which has been pretty damn good at basketball, no national titles, but they've been to the national
championship
game, and they've been to the Final Four a few times. So that, and then just the worst football program in the country. Or, if you give me that for 10 more years, or sign me up for being in a lesser non-Power 5 conference, continue to be a powerhouse in basketball, and then be relevant, like be a solid football team that can go to bowl games and stuff like that in a conference like that. Well, like, wouldn't that be better in some ways?
That's up to you.
And then maybe there's something else that happens. Maybe they get picked up by the Pac-12 or the Big Ten or something. Yeah, fine, whatever.
I mean, go to the Big Ten. Look what that did for Nebraska football and basketball.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so, okay, you're in a Power 5 conference. Congratulations. Have you sniffed anything relevant in football since then? Or any other sport?
Shots.
I mean, look, and again, maybe Nebraska made the right move,
you know what?
Because of what was going to happen down the road. You know, they needed to do that anyway. But have the past 10 years been great for Nebraska?
My ribbing was good-natured. You could tell by the tone of my voice. That he had venom in his voice.
That sounded very touch of honesty.
It's honest. I mean, was anything I said?
Ladies and gentlemen, this morning Nate has a very sharp tongue.
Venom with a touch of honesty,
right? Don't you think he has a sharp tongue?
I like this. I like this version of Nate.
I thought I'd bring it for you this morning. You know, some takes.
Hot takes.
Hot takes.
Hot cup of takes.
Tell you,
those glasses.
You're making a lot of good points.
Don't chew on your glasses, man. They're new. Get those bite marks on it.
See, the radio listeners missing out on physical humor today.
Well, I'm going to send you. I just took a picture off my program. I'm going to send you a picture.
You know, whatever.
You can tweet it out.
I mean,
if you want.
I don't know what your insurance is like.
Say,
but
I'm not,
you only get like one pair of glasses every so often, so take care of those things.
Right. It's your picture to tweet out if you want to.
I think insurance covers every other year for the.
Is that right?
Flex spending, right?
Sure. Let's take a break and think about this.
Yes, do.
Nate's had a lot to say when he does.
We got the glitch
digest.
To fix. I got to go fix the glitch.
Talk about a big baseball trade, too.
Yeah.
A big one. Hey, there's a team in the AL Central that decided we're not going to compete. Let's make a big trade.
Traded an all-star.
But it's not the Royals, because the Royals are red hot. So
they're undecided.
We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's see if either one of you can guess where I got these glasses. Where did I buy these glasses?
The gift shop at Worlds of Fun.
Main Event.
No.
You want them with tickets?
I've had them for a couple of years, and I found them yesterday.
You found them for a couple of years,
in the back
huh?
of your car.
No, during the flat tire fiasco.
Ah.
I thought I was going to have to put on the spare, so I was getting some stuff out of there, and I was like, oh, that's where these were. They were in a compartment in the back of my car. Gift shop is right. It was a gift shop someplace that I visited.
Dave and Buster's.
Not in Kansas City. If I give you the city, then you'll guess it.
Branson.
Okay, I'm going to say the city, and we'll see who guesses it first. Chicago.
Is there a Six Flags in Chicago?
Harry Carey's, he got it. That's boom. That's exactly right.
And the glitch is fixed.
That's exactly right. See, I saw you. I got to get those.
Holy cow. Right. Hey, Steve. If I was the moon and I was made out of cheese, would you eat me?
Can you please find the commercial of Harry Carey?
La
telling
Porferia.
Us, yeah, telling us about his favorite Mexican products.
All right, so Nelson Cruz, you were talking about that.
What do you think of that?
Well,
here we go.
You know, working a ball game really makes me hungry, and when I'm hungry, I can't help but think of the great Mexican foods made with La Preferida products. Just as a home run adds excitement to a baseball game, La Preferida sauces add excitement to your meal. If you want to hit a grand slam for your team, simply serve up a tasty dish made with La Preferida food. Holy cow, what a meal!
See? That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, I want to get some La Preferida.
Right, just because of that commercial.
Yeah.
There's only a few people, when they endorse something, you're buying. And I think in his day, it was Harry Carey. Right. Well,
like when it comes to chicken wings.
Not totally sure about that, but.
Heck yeah.
So there was a big trade made in baseball last night, or yesterday, and Jeff Passan broke it while he was in the hallway here at Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Incredible.
Because I walked in here and the hallway smelled like breaking news. And it was still left over from Jeff Passan when he was here breaking the story about the Tampa Bay Rays acquiring slugger Nelson Cruz, who, my goodness, at the age of, you know how old he is?
I guess he's 36.
How old do you think he is?
I think he's in his 40s.
He's 41 years old.
Oh,
didn't
whoa.
That kind of that surprise
whoa.
You? Like,
oh. What's
I
that
thought
guy
he was like
taking?
37, 30, 41.
Must be taking some vitamins.
Well...
easy.
We're not going to start that, are we?
Definitely taking vitamins.
But the point is...
multivites.
Zinc.
Vitamin C.
I mean, the slash line of 294, 370, 537, 296 at-bats, 19 homers, and 50 ribbies. I mean, that's...
so...
that's a... I mean, take away the 41 years old. I mean, he's a rental player, but that's a hell of an addition to the lineup for Tampa. I love it.
His OPS over 900, right? 90-something?
907.
So I looked at that because you were talking about how the Royals, why aren't they doing something? How many players do you think the Royals have that have an OPS of over 900?
None.
They have one.
Well, then how many at-bats, though?
Adalberto Mondesi
okay,
is your guy.
Yeah, he's got how 12. Many at-bats?
Right. He's got 36.
He does not qualify.
Well, I'm just saying. For two pitching prospects?
The next
possible?
Best is Salvador Perez with an 801 OPS. His OPS 100 points higher than any Royal. So.
Right. No, he was one of the best bats on the market. There's no doubt about that. And Tampa gets him, and they give up two pitching prospects. They were both at AAA, both considered to be close to Major League ready. Nah. But, for Minnesota, why wouldn't you do it? Cruz is going to be a free agent at the end of the season. They're not going anywhere, and Minnesota needs pitching. And so hopefully this will get things rolling. I'm not being negative, but I don't have any anticipation. I don't have any hope that the Royals are going to do anything like this or flip any players. Especially now that they beat Milwaukee and they won a couple of games out of the All-Star break. And we already saw the quote that Ken Rosenthal had, or the comment Ken Rosenthal had in his column, that even though the Royals may be more open to trading Whit Merrifield, they're telling teams. You read that, didn't you?
No, I haven't seen that.
No.
It's a real Ken Rosenthal, too, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
A fake one?
No, the one with the bow tie.
Blue checkmark Ken Rosenthal?
It was in his column at The Athletic. Okay. So it would be odd if it was the fake Ken Rosenthal that got into this and they were able to...
You know how this time of year goes.
Right.
I've been catfished a couple times.
I understand, but it's, you know...
Ken Rosenthal with a capital I.
Right. No. Yeah, I get you.
Ken dash Rosenthal instead of Ken underscore Rosenthal.
Yeah. No, this is the time where you got to watch out for Sports Talk Barry, known as Ultra Weed Hater now on Twitter. He's the one that gets everyone with the Adam Schefter breaking news and then, you know, get retweeted like 10,000 times.
I've been gotten a couple times.
He got you a couple times. I can tell you that. So, Ken Rosenthal, when he was writing, he had a series of trade deadline notes at The Athletic the other day that we were talking about. And what he had written about the Royals is that I crossed the Royals Danny Duffy off the list of available starting pitchers after suffering from a left flexor strain. But he said, Jason Stark hears the Royals appear more open than in the past to trading all-star second baseman Whit Merrifield. Goes through his numbers, goes through why his salary, why his contract is so attractive. But then he follows up by saying, the Royals, though, have told other teams they believe they are close to contention and are signaling that they do not want to trade established major leaguers for prospects who might not join them for 3 or 4 years. That could make it difficult for them to match up with clubs that have expressed interest in Merrifield. So although they may be more open to trading with Merrifield, they're telling other teams, hey, we think we're pretty close to contention. We don't want your damned high-ceiling prospects. We don't want to make any deals like, you know, when the Padres traded James Shields for a young Fernando Tatis Jr. with high upside. We don't want none of that. Give us your guys that are close to the majors like Kelvin Gutierrez, guys that are close to the majors like, you know, Edward Olivares. Those are the guys we're looking for, guys that are close to the majors.
Like, that might not ever help you win in the majors.
No, but that's apparently what they're looking for. So they don't want your prospects. So Nate has a angry look on his face. So I'm thinking that he did not like that comment from Ken Rosenthal. So we'll take a break and let Nate recover before he responds after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the show. Good morning, Stan Weber. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
There's nothing going on in college athletics, so we have to talk a little bit of baseball before we try to manufacture some stories here.
About sports.
Right. We were just talking about the Royals and this comment that Ken Rosenthal made in his column that they're not interested in prospects because they feel like they're close to contending. And so I was just going to remind Nate before he gave his thoughts on what Ken Rosenthal wrote. There have been a series of trades that fit that mold that the Royals have made the last couple of years, right? Mm-hmm. When they had Trevor Rosenthal, who was one of the hottest bullpen arms on the market when they made the trade last year, they traded him for Edward Olivares, who was thought to be a outfielder that was close to major league ready. And for some reason, he can't get at bats in Kansas City. When they traded Kelvin Gutierrez a couple of years ago, right? Remember that? When they traded him to the Nationals? They got Blake Perkins.
Oh, yeah. B. Perk, we call him.
Do you remember him?
Nope.
He didn't turn out to be much. They also got Kelvin Gutierrez in that deal. But Kelvin Gutierrez was considered a third baseman that was close to the majors, close to major league ready. Didn't pan out. Now he plays for Baltimore. Do you remember what they got, Jake? Do you remember what they got when they traded Mike Moustakas to the Brewers, a very talent rich farm system in Milwaukee?
Was that the Brett Phillips deal?
Yes, they traded
Moustakas, right?
Yes, to the Brewers for two guys who were thought to be close to major league ready, Jorge Lopez and Brett Phillips.
Oh yeah.
Brett Phillips now is the fourth outfielder for the Rays, and Jorge Lopez is with Kelvin Gutierrez in Baltimore.
Hip, hip, Jorge.
And so that seems like that's what, and to your point, the cycle that they're in. Hey, we're close to contending. We don't want to trade for guys that won't help us for several years. give us guys that are close to major league ready. And that's frustrating for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that I am a person who has been introduced to the concept of radical acceptance. And I think in order to change your predicament, you have to embrace radical acceptance. You have to have a clear-eyed vision of what is going on in your world. And
so I got these glasses.
That's right. And I just don't, it doesn't seem to me like the Royals have really embraced radical acceptance of where they are. And so they keep telling themselves they're close to contending. And then they go out and they make trades that are for the near term that don't really impact the franchise. And it's like you said, it's a cycle that the Royals are in right now. The biggest example I ever had of it was when I was covering the Royals on a daily basis and they had Carlos Beltran on that team was on its way to losing 100 games. And when they decided to put him on the market, Albert Baird said, well, we need a third baseman and we need a catcher.
And so, a bullpen arm.
And then they got a bullpen arm, too, out of Mike Wood. So they got Mark Tien and John Buck. A couple of big leaguers, but big leaguers that weren't going to, like, change your team and, you know, make your team better. They weren't top 10 prospects in their own organizations at the time. And I was thinking to myself, no, you need talent. Like, it's one thing if you're the Rays right now and you go, you know what we need? We need a slugger. If we have a slugger, that puts us over the top. When the Royals traded for Cueto, they needed a frontline starting pitcher.
Ben Zobrist.
Because they were already really good. And so they needed one or two things to make them good enough to be a champion.
Put them over the top.
Right. Right now, they're steamrolling towards 100 losses. Maybe they'll get to 90. But either way, they're pretty terrible this year.
Put them under the bottom.
And so, like, to me, you don't just need a piece here or there. You need franchise-changing players. You need talent. That's what you need.
It doesn't appear that's going to happen this trade deadline cycle. Stan Weber, like you said, there's a lot going on, isn't there?
Yeah, I'm impressed that you guys have the diversity to be able to talk about the Royals right now. So, it's very impressive.
<Yes. laughs>
I love that the station covers it all. The Royals are big time, and you get the Harry Caray glasses on.
Right.
Cubs win! Cubs win! Cubs win!
See? I'm wearing these glasses because I need to see what the hell's going on right now, because it's all happening. Right?
You got that eye. Chiefs hat on. They're reporting today.
Hey!
The NFL has some big news.
There we go.
Hey! Yeah.
No excuses.
Right.
You can't play.
Right.
You forfeit your game if it's for COVID reasons and it's because of unvaccinated players.
Right.
I mean, that whole can of worms is opening up. And we've seen all summer long.
It's fun. We used to find out which NFL players are really stupid.
We all summer long, we've been talking about how the NFL just dominates. Every week we have plenty to talk about. I don't think we've lacked too much. There may have been a week or two where fans are saying, what are you guys talking about? But mostly we had legitimate things to talk about. The NFL, it headlined all the time very effectively. But with all the things that are happening now, you wish that would have been spread out a little bit. Like we could have had the last 3 weeks, Oklahoma, Texas announcing, or the Houston Chronicle saying that they're looking to go to the SEC. That could have happened 3 weeks ago, and it could have taken the whole show up. And then the NFL going out and saying that you're going to forfeit games, and the owners are going to have to pay the costs of the lost revenue if you are the team that causes the forfeiture and the cancelization of the game. All those things are hitting the fan today, and there's all kinds of aspects to that. And then obviously locally, there's about 100 different ways you can look at things with Oklahoma, Texas, Big 12, the conference alignment in the whole country. And, oh, by the way, SEC Media Days are pretty good because Coach Drinkwitz from Missouri was on the dais yesterday, and you could talk about that as well. So, I mean, there's so many things going on. It's unbelievable. It's hard to believe it's all happening like Wednesday and Thursday of this week.
So what's your reaction we have plenty of time to talk about this, but what was your first reaction to when you heard the Texas-Oklahoma news?
It was surprising, first of all. And then next thing is we got to fill in the blanks of what do they want? Why are they doing this? That is yet to be told, and we can start speculating what it is. But the reasons why it's even a possibility are Texas being a complete failure and trying to find a new island to live on because they can't take care of their own. Are they not strong enough to lead a conference? Is that too much pressure for them? DeLoss Dodds was the athletic director when Mac Brown was a head coach. And when we were going through all these things, he had all of the rich people and politicians in Texas online saying, I got this as the AD. He had respect, and he could take Texas through some rough waters. And there's always rough waters in Texas because billionaires are on both sides. They don't have T. Boone's pickings like Oklahoma State. They got hundreds of those guys who have all kinds of money and care about it. So he would say, let's stay calm and let's go. Well, now we're on our second athletic director after him, and the athletic director they have came from TCU just a little while ago. So what are they thinking? Why is this a possibility? I'll tell you the number one reason why this is a possibility that Texas, and it has been reported, we don't know what's true and what's not, it's been reported that Texas is the one that said, hey, Oklahoma, how about let's talk to the SEC? If it's all true, it was supposedly Texas, not OU, bringing this up. So Texas brings this up, and it's because their Texas Longhorn Network is a failure. It does not produce revenue. That's the definition of failure. No one cares about watching the Longhorn Network. Okay, ESPN made a 20-year commitment to them to give them an average of $20 million per year to have the Longhorn Network.
What the hell's even on it?
Well, the best things are replays of Ricky Williams games playing when he runs, you know, his Heisman Trophy year and things like that.
Did he eat sugar before that, Jake, at
Maybe.
All? We'll save that for later.
But it's been a failure, ratings-wise, money-wise. ESPN is their partner with them. So ESPN is a dirty dog in this whole thing because they have just bought the SEC rights. Okay, it used to be CBS had the big show, right? That's only going to happen for another couple of years. Then ESPN, ABC is going to take over the SEC rights. They have the Big 12, the Longhorn Network, and the rights run out after the 24 football season in the Big 12. So ESPN would love to work with Texas and get that liability off their books. They have 10 more years of paying that average of $20 million. But guess what? It's not $20 million. They paid less on the front end, and they're paying more on the back end. It's probably closer that they're committed to pay Texas $25 million a year. It's probably closer to the realistic number for the next 10 years for the Texas Longhorn Network. In the Big 12, we allow Texas to keep that money as their third-tier money. So when people quote SEC money compared to Big 12, that is so dumb to stop there. The SEC gives out $45 million to their teams. That's a lot of money.
Millions.
The Big 12 only gives out $40 million or $35, right? That's how they compare them? But the SEC is giving out all the money, including third-tier rights. Texas, Oklahoma, K-State, KU get to add their third-tier rights on. No one does the math to match it up. So for KU, maybe they get another $2 million. Maybe they get $5. But you know what Texas gets? $20. So being in the Big 12 is valuable to them because they can get their 35 or 40 plus 20 more. But because it's such a failure, they realize that money is running out and ESPN would fold them in, so it opens their mind up to say, well, maybe we can be a part of another conference because we're not strong enough to be our own self here. So and what do they want? Maybe they want to not go to the SEC. Maybe they want to go to the Pac-12. Maybe they just want more money out of the Big 12. And we need to find out what they want before we know where this thing's going to go.
Stan Weber's coming in hot on this Friday morning. Mm-hmm. Stan,
yeah.
It's not that often that any of our guests mention Ricky Williams, and when they do, we must play this clip from 60 Minutes. Back after this on WHB.
He used hash.
You smoked a lot of marijuana, yeah.
Yeah. And you have done the same.
I have done the same.
Could you pass an NFL drug test today?
No.
So you still smoke marijuana?
Mm-hmm.
Anything worse than that?
Worse? Yeah. What do you mean by worse?
More addictive, more dangerous, conceivably.
Sometimes I have sweets. Sugar?
Oh, yeah, I see.
This is a fantastic song, by the way. Steve Perry solo. Welcome back to the show. Let's hear, we'll play some comments from people from around the nation as the show goes on. Let's hear from Paul Feinbaum. The Paul Feinbaum Show, on the ripple effects of the potential Texas-Oklahoma move.
It changes everything because you lose your best two schools from the Big 12, and you really have virtually nothing to stand on. I mean, somebody tell me who the power broker in the Big 12 would be if this really goes on. And so then the ACC and the Big Ten are going, we've got to do something. The Big Ten's just not going to sit around and let the SEC run over it. So I think there's going to be a mad dash trying to find who is attractive. The problem, Kevin, is this. There's not many attractive schools out there. The only one I could think of who's unattached at the moment is Notre Dame. And this is a conversation that has gone on ad nauseum about Notre Dame joining a conference.
Come on.
Best two schools. What does that mean? Best two. What about Texas makes them the best to come out of the Big 12? Biggest two schools, okay. Best? What's Texas been best at? That's the crap that bothers me about this whole situation. You know, and it's like, and college football is trying to set itself up to the fact where, like, if you don't play in an 80,000-seat stadium or bigger, you can't win.
But it's the best brand.
Okay. We have Stan here,
we do have Stan Weber here.
He's right there.
Are the Cowboys the best team in the NFL?
Now, why do you got to do that,
Stan? Over the past 10 years?
Stan's already dealing with this Big 12 stuff.
Because I know how he feels about his team.
No, not at all. They're the best businessmen.
They make the most money.
And women.
Well, that's what this is all about, Nate.
But we're talking about sports.
What did Mark Mangino say about Texas years ago? You got that in the system, don't you?
I sure do. We're not talking about sports, Nate.
You love Mark Mangino, right?
I do love Mark Mangino.
Why didn't you listen to him when he tried to tell you this years ago?
He did try to tell us. I thought I became a sports fan to watch my team win or lose. Like, that's why I like to watch sports, is to see which team wins and loses.
You know what this is all about, don't you?
Like to get out my spreadsheet and see which team's winning on the balance sheet.
Dollar signs.
No, that doesn't, that just drives me nuts. Like, okay, so by that standpoint, then, there's no reason to even play the games because Texas is just the best. They got the most money. They're just the best. It doesn't matter if they win or lose. That just hearing Paul Feinbaum say that's
Stan, you handle this. Usually I have to deal with this. I'd like you to step in here.
K-State's kicked their ass for years. Well, they play in a 50,000 seat stadium, so they can't be better than Texas. Okay, all right. Well, what are we doing here?
We're talking about eyeballs on television sets.
Okay, great.
I mean, I'm not enjoying this any more than you are. But you're asking what's the best?
Doesn't matter if you beat them every year.
They have the best brand. They put more eyes on TVs than anybody else.
Doesn't matter if you guys go down and win at Oklahoma, Stan. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
Oklahoma's the best.
I wish it did.
K-State beat Oklahoma the last 2 years in football.
That's right.
They say that's all that matters.
It doesn't matter if you win or lose.
You know, again, what do they want? What are they trying to accomplish? We got to step back. And you can talk about the dollars all you want. And we'll be able to do that here in a second, I think. Because the best example, I don't want to go into it right now, but the best example, Stephen is here to represent. He'll tell us why Missouri loves the SEC. And that will answer the question in a lot of ways about what's valuable about the money side. Now, Texas, you know, like I said, this would not be happening. No discussion with going to the SEC would ever occurred if the Longhorn Network would have worked. And ESPN now signed up with the SEC. They're signed up with the Longhorn Network. And Texas and ESPN know that it's a disaster and it's not going to continue being a cash cow. So you don't need to be in the Big 12 anymore. The Big 12 is the only conference that would allow Texas to have their third-tier rights and make as much money as they want. And because of it, they and Notre Dame are the two highest paid schools by a lot, better than SEC schools. But they don't project themselves being that way. The second thing that occurred is we've moved to a 12-team playoff. With a 12-team playoff, there may be some thought that the last six spots in the tournament are going to be SEC schools. That's what the SEC believes. They believe there's going to be six conference champions, because that's by rule, if it goes through like we're expecting it, and the next six best teams. And the SEC believes they're going to fill the next six teams. And Texas could say, we can have as good a chance or better by being in the SEC because they play only eight conference games. We play nine. And you know something else the Big 12 does? They make you prove it. If you win the league and play every team, you got to go back and beat them again. Look how much trouble Oklahoma had beating Iowa State a second time, Baylor a second time, and Texas a second time. Texas says, if we don't have to play 10 good games to go to the tournament, maybe we can make it easier. So actually, the conference allowing 12 teams into the playoff may have also spurred Texas to have the right to move on.
Texas ain't beating Alabama. We'll take a break back after this on WHB. Thank you very much for watching us on 38 The Spot. The show continues with Stan Weber in studio for the next hour. Then we'll talk to Gary Lezak, get your weekend forecast. Mike McFarlane, former Royals catcher, will talk baseball with us. Then Tim Grunhard will be in studio. We'll also have our future intern Namdi visiting us in about half an hour. He's going to sit in there with Jake on Sports Radio 810 WHB.